There are a few passages of Scripture which have stimulated the imagination of men and women throughout the centuries, as this passage from the 15th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel. Musicians and poets, sculptors and artists of all kind have found an inspiration in this story. The 15th chapter of St. Luke really has three stories. This is the third. As I mentioned to people yesterday in the scripture study, there are lots of thirds. And there is a rule of three. When you're telling a story, when you're trying to make a point, you build up until the third one. You know, jokes operate that way. There was a German, there was a Frenchman, and there was an Irishman. You know, and then it goes through. Or there was a priest, there was a rabbi, and there was a minister. Well, there are three stories here. The first story is about the shepherd who loses one of the 100 sheep that he has. And he leaves everything and he goes and he searches for the sheep. And when he finds the sheep, he rejoices. The second story is about the woman who loses money in her house. And she sweeps the house clean. And she finds the money. And then she invites her neighbors in to celebrate with her. She is so full of joy. And the third story is the story that we just heard. All three of those stories are about losing something. Most of us know the story as the story of the prodigal son. If you were reading it from a German New Testament, more likely than not, it would be titled Der Verlose Sohn, the Lost Son. And that's probably a better title for it. Leading up to all three of those stories, Jesus is confronted by the scribes and the Pharisees. They grumble. This man welcomes and he eats with sinners. Jesus, in his human life, in his physical presence, is the manifestation of the all-encompassing love of God. And in doing that, in revealing that love of God, he gathers around himself those whom nobody else would want to associate with. It's his way of saying there are no limits to God's love. And because he does that, because he shows forth this merciful love of God, the scribes and the Pharisees grumble. Well, it's curious. In the three stories Jesus tells, the reaction is joy. How much joy the shepherd experiences in finding the sheep that is lost. How much joy the woman experiences in finding the coin that was lost. How much joy the father experiences in the return of the son who is lost. The reaction is joy in the stories, not grumbling. The love of God is found in God's mercy. The love of God is found in God's mercy. And this story is about the mercy of God. There is not one thing that you or I could possibly do that would ever, ever lead God to love any one of us one bit more than God loves us. God loves us fully, without exception. God loves us when we are good, and God loves us when we sin. There's nothing I can do that will turn off the love of God. The story of the boy who goes off to the foreign land and squanders his money. His father loved him as he left home. His father loved him while he wasted the money. His father loved him before he repented. His father loved him when he returned. The love of God is found in God's forgiveness. Think about the word forgiveness. Forgiving. God gives reconciliation to us. God gives mercy to us before we repent. While we are still sinners, God forgives us. It is a forgiving. It is not a response to my action. It leads my action. And I would suggest to you that our ability to repent is there because first God has forgiven. Now that's who God is. That's the God that Jesus reveals. And that's the God whom the Pharisees and the scribes find very hard to embrace. Now in the second reading, St. Paul tells us that God has reconciled everything that exists in Jesus Christ. In His suffering and dying and rising, all that is brought into union with God. And that Jesus is the very reconciliation of God, the very mercy of God, the very healing forgiveness of God. And then, Paul says, you and I are called to be ambassadors for Christ. We are called to be envoys for Christ. We are called to be reconciliation. We are called to be the mercy and the forgiveness of God. Individually and as a community. We are called to forgive. Long before the hurt is felt, we are called to forgive. Now that's very, very hard. That is an incredibly difficult thing to do. And yet it is our vocation. We don't do it perfectly. In fact, quite often we do it very poorly. But even when we do it poorly, the Lord forgives. The Lord reaches out. The Lord makes it possible for us to be renewed and to go at it again. Every Sunday when we come together, we stand at the table of the Lord and we celebrate the mystery of the reconciliation of God in Jesus Christ. The suffering, the dying, the rising, and the ascending of the Lord. That's what we celebrate. And that's what we are called to be. As we are sent out, as we go out the doors, to our homes, to our workplaces, to our classrooms, to our communities, to our neighborhoods, we are called to be ambassadors for Christ, instruments of the reconciliation of God. We are called to be a forgiving people. That's what we pray for, that we can really be who we're called to be.